Good morning. It's really good to see all of you here this morning. It looks like we might be back into the swing of things and routine after the Sunday after New Year's and the Sunday after Christmas, that we're back on track a little bit. So it's great to see all of you here this morning. We are starting a new series, as I mentioned to the kids here just a minute ago, called Foundations. And as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at, and I was thinking about this even while Sonny was reading the lessons for today, about this whole idea of foundations, and just some different elements that are even made up in a foundation. And we heard some of the children say, you know, cement and different things. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to look at the whole idea of foundation, and our foundation being Jesus Christ, but then these other elements that make up that foundation that we have in Jesus that we draw from Scripture. And so really today what we're going to be looking at is the story. Now, how many of you remember when we did the story? Do you remember when we did that series? That was a long one, right? This is only 6 weeks. That was a 31-week series where we went through the entire Bible and tried to focus on what is the storyline that we find in the Bible as a whole. Have any of you ever tried to tackle reading through the whole Bible? Have you ever done that? And I'm not trying to embarrass anyone or anything, but to be honest with you, that can be a taxing task, right? I mean, it kind of starts off fun because we have creation, and we get into some pretty fun stories there at the beginning of Genesis, but then all of a sudden you run into a chapter or two where there's this whole list of names. And you spend so much time trying to pronounce the names right, you lose track of what you've read, right? And so it can be a challenging task. And so what the story did, that series, it tried to focus in what is this main storyline in the 66 books that make up the Bible. There is one story that really runs through the whole Bible. And so what we're going to do this morning is cram those 31 weeks into one message. Okay? All right. But we'll go fast, all right? We're not going to hopefully not spend a whole lot of time. I'm not going to keep you here all day. But as we think about the story, what we're going to look at in this story is really five key moves, I would say, or if you think along the lines of a play, five major scenes that are played out in the Bible. And what's fascinating about it, the first two scenes take up about the first three chapters of Genesis. Okay, and so that's how we're going to get through this a lot quicker, because then the rest of the Bible or a majority of the Bible is one scene. We looked in our Bible class this morning, we looked at the creation, we looked at the fall, and then it jumped to the third scene. There was the Redeemer and the restoration. We're going to plug in between the fall and the Redeemer, we're going to plug in the covenant, the promise that God has for his people. And so as we look in Genesis chapter 1, we have the creation of the world. Now, I'm not going to go through every day. We started this in our men's Bible study, reading through Genesis this past week, and it's fascinating sometimes how we think we know the creation story, but if I were to ask you what was created on each individual day, sometimes we get confused, and especially with day one. What did God create on day one? Light. And a lot of times we think on day one, light means the sun and the moon and the stars, but that actually happens on day four. And so it's a little tricky sometimes to keep up with the days. But what does he do after he creates everything on each one of those days, at least the first 5 days? What does he say? It is good. Now, when we get to day six, though, it's a little bit different. He creates all the land animals on day six, and then he creates Adam and Eve. And after he does his creating on day six, he looks at everything and says, what? It is very good. And so what this means is, in the time of creation, when God created everything, it was very good, which means it was perfect. And now, we talked about in Bible class how man held a special place in that creative work God created, because man is described in God creating them. Really, everything else God spoke and it came into being. But you almost get the picture of a hands-on creation of Adam and then of Eve. And then he breathes into them the breath of life, his spirit. And so man is really set apart from every other part of creation. And he's set apart to have a relationship with God. And when God says, let us make man in our image, that image is really that perfection of holiness, righteousness, obedience. And that's the state that God created the human being in. A perfect relationship. Now, in chapter 3 of Genesis, we get to the fall. And we all know what happened. I mean, Eve takes the fruit from a tree that God said, don't eat from. He said, you can have, and this is what is so fascinating to me, you can have everything else in the garden for food except the one tree. And you know, we think it's tough for kids when they have to keep 10 different rules. How did they mess that up? How did they mess up one rule? They had one, have you ever thought of that? They had one rule. Don't eat of that tree. That's it. You can have everything else. But they fall into sin. You know, I thought about it. Just if you have children and you think, okay, I'm going to leave my older children at home. We're going to go out on a date. Has that ever happened? We're going to go out on a date, but we're going to leave the kids at home. And you tell them there's a refrigerator full of food. I mean, you can watch TV. You can play video games. You can do whatever you want to. Just don't hit your brother. And you come home and what happened? They hit their brother. One single little rule and it all falls apart. And, you know, we think, how can just one slip of eating one piece of fruit, how can that do so much damage? Now, I know I think there's a few of you here this morning that went on the National Youth Gathering this past summer. And, you know, we had a great time and we get everything loaded and we get to the airport on time, and then before we know it, our flight is delayed. Then it's delayed again. And then it's completely canceled. Why? Because of one little simple computer glitch in Southwest Airlines' computer system. And what did that do? That grounded probably thousands of planes. It detained thousands of people in airports wondering what they were going to do. And so one little glitch caused all of that disruption. And that's what happened in the fall. Just one, what we would say, simple little slip brought sin into the entire world. In Romans chapter 5, the passage that Sonny read, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Because of that one little slip by one person, we get the honor of being called a sinner. How great is that? But just that one little slip caused the sin from that one person to trickle down now to every single person that's ever been born, that will ever be born. And the problem with that is it destroyed that perfect relationship. It destroyed that very good aspect of creation. Of creation of every single thing in the world. But there is hope. Because just as sin entered through the one man, we're told in Romans 5, carrying on with that passage, verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, of the gift of righteousness, reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. In a nutshell, sin entered the world through one man. Life, restoration came through one man, Jesus. You know, Jesus came into the world, and we talked about this past Christmas, the gifts of Christmas. Jesus is that greatest gift who came into the world to die for us, to bring us forgiveness, to be our Redeemer. And because of Him being that Redeemer for us, we now have restoration, which is the fifth and final scene. I forgot to mention, too, as we move from the creation to the fall in three chapters in the book of Genesis, from that point on, God promised to bring a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He will strike your head He will strike your heel and he will crush your head. That's a promise of Jesus coming into the world, or a Savior coming into the world to restore everything. And from that point on, the rest of the Old Testament is the carrying out of that covenant, that promise that God made. It was made to Abraham, you will become a great nation. And as we move to the Redeemer in the New Testament, now what happens after the Gospels is that restoration. Us bringing, God's people bringing that redemption, that restoration to the world. And I would like to say, and I mentioned this in Bible class, the restoration, we like to think of the final restoration when Christ returns. But there's really two parts to the restoration. The first part is already taking place for people who believe in Jesus as their Savior. We have been restored. We've been put back into that right relationship with God through Jesus because He forgives us. He promises us eternal life. We have that now, but not to its fullest. When Christ returns, everything will be brought back to that complete restoration. In Romans chapter 8, this really makes it clear for us, to me, what happened at the time of the fall. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. What's groaning? all of creation. Not just man, but every bit of creation was frustrated, was broken because of the fall into sin. And all of that, when Christ returns, when the new heavens and the new earth are created, all of that is going to be restored back to its original perfection. Very good. Until then, we live in a broken world. We live in a world where there's hurt, where there's pain, where there's struggle. We all experience it. But we know ultimately, as Jesus is our foundation, He walks with us through whatever we go through. And as believers in Jesus Christ, as we live in this world, we have a responsibility. We have the responsibility to be a light in the world, to show people, to tell people who that foundation is in their life, so that they can understand and come to know who Jesus is, so that they will one day join all of us when Christ returns. And so I would say, as in closing, one of the key verses for this entire series of foundation is found in, if you can put that on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. If you would say this with me, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is our foundation. He is the one who makes things work. He's the one that we can rely on regardless of what we go through in life. And I pray that we can hold on to Him, that we can put Him forth to the world so that people will come to know who the true foundation is in our lives and theirs. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.